listening to Eureka on Monocle 24. This week, we hear the story of entrepreneur Rebecca Hall, who left a 10-year career in finance to create an organic cold-pressed juice brand. Rebecca's company is called Botanic Lab, and while it sources its often exotic ingredients from around the world, they make all of their products right here in London. But how do they compete in a saturated juice market of health-conscious consumers? Rebecca shares how she built the brand.
I always wanted to be a pianist until quite late on, actually, until I was about 18, and I sadly wasn't good enough. One of the things I really loved at school was maths, so I studied economics, and my big aspiration was to make money. And nothing was simpler than that, so I became an accountant when I left university and worked in corporate finance and banking with the view I wanted to make money, which I did a little bit, and after a period of time I knew that I really wanted to work for myself, but didn't really know what that was. And I think it's the same for a lot of people who think they want to work for themselves. They're like, what is that idea? What is that thing? And I spent so long trying to think what that thing was. But actually the thing was that I wanted to be an entrepreneur, and it didn't matter so much what that thing was in the end. I think for me, the big step was getting out of that job in a big corporate and going to work for some entrepreneurs and learning what it was like to be an entrepreneur directly from working with them. And that's the best thing that I've ever done. And I did that with several different entrepreneurs, learning what it means to run your own business, how different that is from working in a big organization, what makes those people tick, comparing myself to them and whether I thought I could do that, and really just learning for them and absorbing all of the things that I could by just being alongside them. And actually, some of the people I met when I did that are now investors in this business, so it's a nice testament to that process. I left to start a business, but I didn't know what it was. And I took the view that I would never know what it was until I actually took the leap, gave myself some space to think about that properly, and got out of that cycle of earning a salary every month. For me, it was a trap. It was, can I really not have a salary check at the end of each month? How much money can I survive on? And that consumed me so that I couldn't actually think about what I really wanted to do and be open to the opportunities that came along. So leaving, although it was frightening and it didn't give me any great relief, was the best thing I ever did to give myself a bit of space to think properly about those things. I actually had a business before this. When I left my job, I learned to be a yoga teacher. I'd practiced yoga for a long time, so I was working in that industry, and I started a small yoga business, running retreats and working with other yoga teachers, immersed myself in that environment and learned a lot about the health and well-being industry, which at the time was very much on the rise. And I didn't intend to do anything other than that, although I was obviously much more receptive to ideas as they came along. And through that experience, I met someone else called Christoph, who's my business partner, at a yoga retreat. He was a chef and very interested in drinks and wanted to start a business, and we ended up doing that together. I have a very dear friend. She mentors entrepreneurs, and one of the things she always says is, make a crap version of your business first. Like, just get started and do it. And that's kind of what we did. We started it, and it's evolved immeasurably since we started it. We started it with the plan that we were going to make juice, and that was kind of it. And we made some juices, and we don't, I think, make any of the juices that we used to make at the start. And the idea evolved once we found out what the market wanted, once we found out the things that we could do that were unique. And the market has evolved in that time as well. So I think we very much found our sweet spot now in kind of creating functional drinks with a kind of real USP in the sort of sports market and those kind of things. But we didn't know that right at the beginning. We've made a lot of different drinks, and we found out the ones that work. I think we're relatively unique in this industry in that we do have our own manufacturing site. And although for a long time I've seen that as a burden, it's a great strength for us now. I understand so much more about our product and how it's made than any of our competitors do. When we started, we very naively, instead of going to anyone and asking them what to do, we're just, okay, well, let's rent a kitchen and we'll start making it. You know, we started making 50 bottles of juice, which took us an inordinate amount of time to do, delivered it ourselves, and we learned from that. We learned over a process of years, not a process of weeks and months. But in doing that, we know it inside out now, and we now produce drinks for other people as well. We are one of the best people at doing that. So I think we've put ourselves in a good position from learning that way. When we first started the business, I remember when I was looking for investment, I went to some of my old banking friends. I was like, you know, what do you think of this market? And they're like, we're interested. We've seen what's happening in the States. But to be frank, we can't see someone paying that kind of money for a juice here. So go and have a go and we'll see what happens. 6 months on, they're like, okay, we're a bit more interested. But suddenly there were 25, 30 companies in London doing exactly the same as us. it's a hard business to make money out of, and that has thinned out considerably. We still see a lot of people starting businesses thinking it's a good idea, but they're not really going to get anywhere. And for us, there are the really big boys, you know, the Pepsis and the Cokes, who are making things like Innocent and Naked. And then there are a small grouping of companies like us who are all working with the same customers, producing similar products, but some of us have USPs. And it's really about the battle for that ground, because I think the consumer in food and drink now is, they're very anti-big brands. So we have this kind of leg up where we have the consumer trust and confidence, and the supermarkets are starting to be aware of that and are putting their trust in us as well. And especially with the sort of growth in budget supermarkets, the big guys have to do something different now. They have to work with different brands. They have to put their trust in new brands in order to move forward. So it's a great market for us at the moment, and I see it as a huge opportunity. Particularly the female wellness industry has always been very receptive to our kind of products, the green juice, if you like. What we did a little bit differently was create these quite unique products. We were the first people to make a product with charcoal in it, for example, which to this day is still our best-selling drink. And there are so many things about that drink that are very Botanic Lab. Its colour is surprising, its function, it operates the same way as Lucozade does as a sports drink, and it tastes amazing. That drink is what really took us into our zone, if you like, and it appealed quite heavily to a masculine audience as well, whereas our businesses are quite traditionally very female focused. That took us into a slightly different area, and we found we were getting traction with serious athletes and sports individuals. We work with a number of the Premiership football teams, we work with a lot of the professional rugby teams. We found that there was a real efficacy to what we were doing. That bit is the bit that I think our customers really value, the transparency of what's in the product, but at the same time it functionally works. So that's, I think, where we set ourselves apart, and the business is naturally led into that now. We come from a slightly different angle. The weight loss thing turns me cold, and I think that sort of very American model of showing the woman on the beach in a bikini and this is going to transform your life is not what we're about. It's also not very English either, so there's a little bit of a difference there. But also we want to provide people with ingredients and drinks that they've never come across before. They might not necessarily like the taste of them, we hope they do, but they're not to everyone's taste, but it's an experience, it's a taste experience. Our customer is the one who wants to be surprised. They want something different. They might not even know what the ingredient is. They might never have heard of it. They certainly wouldn't know where to buy it. And it's about exploring what those ingredients can do to your body as well. As far as the health claims go, what's frustrating about the health and wellness market here is that the regulations and rules around it are still very much in the 1970s. So what you can say and write about these ingredients is very limited. That doesn't mean they don't work, but it means that they are not considered important enough for lengthy trials to be carried out. So can we talk in depth about how much turmeric can benefit the body in terms of its anti-inflammatory properties? No. Does that mean it doesn't do it? No. So what we try to do is be quite factual about what's in it, encourage our customers to go and find out about these things themselves, which everyone does now anyway. You know, our customers are as knowledgeable as we are about our products. They come to us and tell us information, you know. Encourage them to go and find out. Explore food, explore ingredients. Don't stick to what you know. And that's what we hope. We're starting a conversation, we hope. I think I've learned a huge amount about myself through this process. I think I'm a very different person now to what I was when I started. What I thought I could cope with then and what I know I can deal with now are two very, very different things. But that's been a process of evolution. I think I've learnt that no problem is insurmountable. You can always find a solution to it. And I've also learnt that you have to ask to get an answer or a solution. One of the things I was very afraid of when I left a big corporation was there was always someone on the end of the phone you could pick up and you could ask the answer. And then suddenly you're all on your own. And you are all on your own, but there is always someone on the end of the phone you can pick up if you're prepared to go and ask that question. And I've been very lucky to be able to draw on a group of people, some who work with me, some who've invested in the business, who have helped me on that journey and contributed as much to this business as I have. So yeah, we've been lucky. I always wanted to start a business and grow it, see it grow, see it become successful and make money from it. And I'm not ashamed to say that. And I think some people are cautious about saying that they talk about the business, it has to be a labour of love. I do love what I do, but I don't do it because I love what I do. I did it because I wanted to build a business and see it grow, eventually sell it, make money for myself and for the shareholders who invest in it. So that's the aim. That's always been the aim, to create a big brand, to accumulate wealth from that. And I'm not ashamed to say that. So that's still the aim. But also the competitive side of you takes over as well. We want to beat the competition. Every time you see it on a new shelf, that's an achievement. So I want to keep seeing that grow whilst maintaining the things that are great about this product and great about this business. And that's a challenge. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, as you scale the business and you increase your manufacturing, it's challenging to keep the things that were so great about that product right at the beginning. But that's what we're endeavouring to do. I had some advice at the beginning from one of my investors who's a mentor to me, and he said, you have to understand this is not going to be nice and it's going to be very difficult at times. You'll probably lose friends and you'll probably hate it, and it will be some of the worst moments of your life, but also some of the best. Do I think you can do it? Yes, but you just need to know that. And I thought, yeah, that's fine, don't worry about it. And then I kind of know what he means now. And I would give that advice to someone else who was going to try to do it. It's fulfilling in a way that I would never have imagined, but it's all-consuming in a way I would never have imagined also. So there are very much two sides to the coin.
Thanks to Rebecca Hall from Botanic Lab for today's episode. Eureka's back again next Friday. But before then, tune in to The Entrepreneurs on Wednesday. This show is edited by Christy Evans. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for tuning in.